Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesarino back here with this week's Survivor Exit Interview, and we are going to talk with the latest player who got voted out of the game in a very shocking tribal council this week. We're going to talk with my fellow Long Islander, Jason Linden, here today on the Exit Interview. Jason's going to be calling in just a moment, so looking forward to that one, even though I hoped that I would be thinking that it would be much later in the season that we would talk to him, but we'll get him on the line in a couple of moments. But we had a great Survivor Know-It-Alls last night. Really fun to go through everything with Stephen Fishback. We were having some issues with the stream on Wednesday night. We re-uploaded the video, so this should be a smooth experience for you. If you want to go back and watch the video, of course, listen to the podcast of last night's Survivor Know-It-Alls. Getting ready for... going to talk to Davey Rickenbacker. Going to do that live today if you're listening to this on Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern or so, for the live show with Davey Rickenbacker. And I'll talk with Ali Lasher on this weekend Survivor Feedback Show. So be on the lookout for that before we get to the Wiggle Room on Monday. Before we get to Jason, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Purple Mattress. Jason knows a lot about being on Purple Tribes, but Purple Mattress is the answer for anybody that's having trouble tossing and turning. You know, you don't feel like yourself the next day if you don't get a good night's sleep. That's where Purple Mattress comes in, because Purple Mattress is founded by two brothers who have been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. So in 2016, they decided to finally use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. How's Purple different from other mattresses? Well, the Purple mattress is probably going to feel different than anything you've ever experienced, because it uses a brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It's not like the memory foam that you're used to. Purple mattress feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while it still feels really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you a zero gravity feel to work in any sleeping position. Plus, there's a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return the mattress for a full refund. It's also backed by a 10-year warranty with free shipping and returns and free in-home setup. Plus, they'll take the old mattress away. You're going to love Purple. Right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text the word ROB to 84888. The only way to get the free pillow too is to text ROB to 84888. That's ROB to 84888. Message and data rates may apply. All right, I see that we have Jason on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Rob Cesternino. That's my impression of you. How was that?
Nailed it.
Awesome. I'm doing okay, Rob.
Doing okay. I was really shocked. I'm sure you might have been as well with this outcome at the tribal council. Could you take us through a little bit of what was going on at the tribal council? We saw a lot of whispering. Was the plan changing at the tribal council, or was that mostly just you guys trying to fake out the other side?
So, Rob, this tribal council and the moments or the days leading up to the tribal council were a lot more complicated than what appeared or what was shown on television. So I'll say this, that ultimately the plan started with Elaine and ultimately ended with Elaine. But in between, there was consistent talks of Missy or Aaron going home. Walking into the tribal council, the plan was to put our four old Vokai votes onto Aaron, not on Elaine. What happened was, as soon as Elaine pulled out that advantage and read it, and we then understood that we only had three available votes, the plan changed to basically put those three available votes onto Elaine and then hope that Aaron or Missy was actually going to flip on Elaine. So, but before that, going in, the plan was really to try to vote out Aaron.
Interesting. That's wild. Did you guys then at any point try to pitch to Elaine or to Elizabeth to join you to vote out Aaron?
So at that time, after the vote was, or the block of vote was read, I could tell you that there wasn't that much time between the actual vote block being read and the actual vote. I'm talking maybe 3 to 4 minutes in that time. We were a bit panicked. I mean, yeah. This was not something that we were expecting. We expected an idol. We thought that Elaine might have had an idol. We thought that Elizabeth maybe had an idol from going to Island of the Idols. But the one thing that we weren't expecting, and I think it's pretty difficult to account for, was this vote block.
Yeah.
So, you know, we were more focused on what the best plan was right then. I clearly had very little say as my vote was just blocked. So,
yeah.
you know, hindsight's 2020, maybe we should have this conversation, but I don't think it was going to make much of a difference.
No, I don't think so either, because, you know, if your best bet is that Aaron is going to stay loyal to you, then you're also throwing that out the window if you try to get Elaine and Elizabeth to vote with your side of things. Can you just talk through why vote out Aaron or Missy? What were you guys thinking?
Okay, so they came to us at the 4-4, and this was an extremely fractured group. And that became very apparent even when we were sitting there eating buffalo wings at Applebee's, that this group was a mess. They told us that Dean had just been blindsided in the last vote. They were talking smack on Karishma. And it just seemed like there was a lot of fractures going on with that Lyro tribe. And having been to that many tribal councils, It's pretty apparent why there were so many fractures. So immediately Missy and Aaron, when we got back to camp, individually came up to us and they said, "We're not drawing rocks. We're flipping. It's going to be Elaine. It's going to be Elaine. It's going to be Elaine." You know, we took that information and we said, "Okay, easy vote. It's going to be Elaine." But then as we sat back over the next couple of days, you know, I thought, why do they want Elaine out of this game so badly? Does Elaine have an idol already? Is there, maybe getting Elaine out of this game is more beneficial to their game than it would be to our game. And maybe there's other moves available. And this is when I channeled my inner James Lynn. And I said, maybe it's not just choice one or choice two, but maybe there's a choice three out there that could actually work better.
There's always a third
for
way.
Us. There's always a third way. So what happened was, I was like, okay, so we have Elizabeth, who we know has been to Island of the Idols. We have Elaine, who they're trying to get us to vote for, which leaves us with Missy or Aaron. And who would be a good choice to get out? Realistically, both of them, we knew were extremely aggressive and playing with a ton of strategy. And so we thought that either of them would be a good choice. Out of us four, we all had different reasons for wanting one of them to stay or one of them to go. But ultimately, it came down to that Lauren was dead set on not getting rid of Missy.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted Aaron gone. And the conversation that you saw where the four of us were kind of fist bumping and I'm saying rock and roll, and it looks like we're talking about Elaine, we were actually talking about the plan to vote out Aaron and that we were all game for it. And that was our plan. So the plan was vote out Aaron. Hopefully Missy turns on Elaine as well. And leave Elaine and Missy in the game, having Missy just voted for Elaine and leaving them even more fractured.
So what about from the other side of things? Why'd they pick you?
So putting the advantage and everything aside, they picked me because I look so much like you and I reminded them of Stephen Fishback too much.
for real?
So I'm saying that facetiously, but at the same time, there are elements of truth in that.
Yes.
So one of the things was when the swap happened, they had not known my name for days because of Matt Chats. Jeff had never called on me. So they were calling me Fishback as being an identifier as, oh, the guy on the other tribe. They didn't know my name, so they were calling me Fishback. So we get the swap. Elaine comes to me, "Hey, Jason, how you doing? Yeah, we were calling you Fishback." And I'm like, "They're calling me Fishback." I'm like,
yeah.
They can't call
not
me
great.
Fishback.
Not
so
good.
Not good. Not good. So just as Molly had the poverty thing going on, they were painting me as the Fishback thing.
No, yeah, that's even worse. You know, you don't want to be the Fishback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, great strategist, but unfortunately, target.
Right,
so
right.
There was elements of that going on. And then additionally, I was very, very, very focused on the 4-4. At that point, with my standing in the game, and I was operating with the information that was available, I said the tribe that's more likely to be 4 strong and more willing to go to rocks is more likely to flip one of them. And so my strategy was keep my three other alliance members super strong, be the strength one, be the one that this is what we're doing. Come on, guys, be the biggest cheerleader. And had I started, you know, going to the Lyro and having tons of secretive conversations with them, and I did have my conversations with them, don't get me wrong, but had I have given the appearance as if I was going to flip, that could have shaken my alliance members up and maybe had them flip against me, or maybe had them not willing to draw the rock. So at that time, with the advantage, with the information available to me, I thought my best plan was to be the biggest cheerleader for us four Vokai Strong and get one of them to flip.
But if you were going to channel your mom again, would she have said to pick a rock?
My mom would have been like, what a rock, rocks? A game of, like, you came all this way for a game of rocks? I think that, I don't know. It was so early in the game still.
Yeah.
So we're still I got swapped with three of my four top allies.
Yeah.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to stab Lauren in the back,
mm-hmm.
and then have Tommy and Dan, who were my buddies, next to me being like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah.
So there was no real opportunity.
Well, what about Dan? Was Dan expendable?
Out of the four of us, Dan was the most expendable. But I could tell you that I had a very good alliance with Dan.
Yeah.
I looked at Dan as somebody that I wanted to go far with, that I was willing to sit next to at the end, that I had a lot of trust in.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the grand scheme of it, maybe he was expendable. But at the same time, that would be signaling to Lauren and Tommy that I just did this to one of my best alliance members, and you're also one of my best alliance members. I could do this to you.
Yeah.
And it was just way too early in the game to start backstabbing like that.
So if you had a choice about going out the way that it happened, or to have eventually gone to that 4-4 vote and picked a rock, and you pulled the rock that sent you out of the game, which outcome would you have preferred?
Wow. Now, that is a really good question. That's the best question I got today, just so you know.
Oh.
Yeah. You should do this professionally.
Thank you.
I think that I would prefer the way that I went out.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, the way I went out was with a reason.
Yeah.
You know, when you draw a rock, it's basically all it equates to is just a game of chance.
Yeah.
And it's hard to make heads and tails of anything, and there's questions of if there is something to make heads and tails of. So having this 6-month period since the game ended, knowing what went wrong and how it went wrong and what went right and mm-hmm. what didn't go so right has given me the closure that I need to really collect myself and be able to put things in perspective and be able to look at the experience in a more positive light.
Yeah, I think you have it right. I think that the way you went out was better than to have pulled the wrong color rock. Could you talk a little bit about your relationship with Nora that we saw at the start of the season? It seemed like that you two had a bond, and I'm sure that must have been a very interesting time for you in the game to be working so closely with Nora.
So I'm going to give you a little Rob Has a Podcast scoop, which I didn't tell any of the media outlets, but this is actually really funny. It came out pretty early on in the game that in college I had dated Nora's cousin.
What?
So this was one of the stranger coincidences, and I know people are like, oh, Dean with Kelly's grad school thing. So basically I'm not going to get into saying any names, but it's somebody with a very similar name to her. And I was like, oh, I knew this girl. And we connected that it was her cousin. This was probably like day 3 or 4. So, and it makes it even funnier with her saying that I reminded her of one of her ex-boyfriends, because apparently their family might have a type. so like there was a very interesting connection that me and Nora had. It started really night one, and it was almost like a relationship made out of necessity at that point. I desperately, desperately needed somebody to talk to. She was willing to talk to me, and she seemingly needed somebody to vent to as well. And we spent all night talking on night one, and just about what I should do. She was, you know, immediately targeting Molly, and she said she wanted Molly out, and we're both like, well, we're really not in the power position here. So we quickly had common ground night one, and that we both felt on the outs. Obviously, I felt more on the outs night one than she did. So that was the start of our relationship. But then after the Molly vote, Nora and I kind of went really separate ways. We still had the strategic conversations. We were still friends, but we weren't. She was not my number one, or even my number four. But and I was probably, I don't know. You would have to talk to her in terms of how she saw me at that time.
Jason, was there any chance that Nora was ever going to be the caller on the blindfold challenge?
0.0% chance there, Rob. No chance. She came back from Island of the Idols. It was a total mess. She also had a fake idol, which she brought back and Dan found, and then he approached her about it and she admitted it was fake. And just for the record, I ended up playing Nora's fake idol at my tribal council, which was not shown. I thought there was a small chance that this was an idol from Island of the Idols, and if you're the caller, it graduates to be a full-blown immunity idol. And Jeff basically said, you're an idiot. This is not an idol. Go sit down. You're going home, kid. So there was no chance Nora was ever going to be the caller. And then we tried to put her in the blindfolded position, and like that might have even been worse than her being in the caller position. So it became very clear, like she was going to be a huge liability in that challenge.
Can you talk a little bit about how the Molly vote came together in terms of what we saw versus how it might have come together from your perspective on the island?
So there was a lot in this vote that wasn't really seen. That so as I am digging myself out of my hole, playing from the bottom, creating these relationships, people kind of thought, oh, I don't want to get rid of Jason. Like, I don't even want him to be at risk. And Molly basically had, it was really a group of four. It was Molly, Jamal, Jack, and Tommy. And these four were kind of gaining power, and that they were kind of dictating this vote a little bit in terms of, okay, it's going to be Nora and we'll split some votes on Jason. But really, like, there started to be almost like a power source of these four. Molly and Jamal were extremely close, and probably what started to happen and why Molly caught people's attention is me and Molly had a very good alliance as well. She was a handshake alliance for me, and we had a great alliance. So basically with Molly, people just saw her as getting too powerful, that she was starting to control the guys, and that she was the one female that started to control the guys. They saw her talking to me, and they just said, she's getting way too powerful. Why are we going to like put the game in their hands? And Kelly, Lauren, Dan, and Janet kind of spearheaded that, and the rest is history.
Okay. A couple of quick rapid fire things. Lyndall from Australia, the great Lyndall from Australia, wanted me to ask you, why didn't you guys have Missy shooting in addition to Aaron?
So that's my dog in the background. So Missy is an incredible, incredible athlete. So the retrieval of the balls was extremely, extremely like a horrible thing to be doing. You actually want one of your most athletic people retrieving the balls. So we thought that she was going to be in the best position to be the ball retriever. She's tall. She's a basketball player. She knows how to rebound.
Rebounder.
She knows how to pass.
Yeah.
Rebounder. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Jason, that maybe what your lasting contribution to Survivor might end up being is that There's a gif of you and Tommy looking horrified. I feel like that one's going to stick. That could go to the top of the new Survivor gif power rankings for season 39.
That is, even when it was happening and him and I were just like screaming and running away like little children and we couldn't look, we're like, what just happened? We both kind of turned to each other. We're like, why did we both have that ridiculous reaction? I guess him and I have never seen a chicken get its head chopped off before.
Yeah.
Until the next night when my head got chopped off.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jason, it was so nice to get to talk to you, and I appreciated you tweeting out about your appearance here with us today on the podcast. Next time I'm on Long Island, that we got to go get a shark bowl.
Yeah, of course. You know, Long Island's famous Applebee's.
There's one on Sunrise Highway. I know where it is. Jason, thank you so much. Anything else you want to say to the listeners?
Oh, I want to say this. I really appreciate everybody that believed in me, saw me as a potential winner. I think a lot of my strategic aspects of my game didn't necessarily show through, and you really needed to read between the lines of what people are saying. So for people that really watch it with that eye like I do, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you saw the game I was playing. And listen, hopefully I'll get him next time.
Yeah, and I think we can all say it's Stephen Fishback's fault that you didn't win.
Totally Stephen Fishback's fault.
Yeah.
Like that is definitely the reason why.
Okay. All right. Jason, thanks for all the time. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jason Linden on the exit interview, and thanks to everybody over at CBS who let us go a little bit over with the interview today. Appreciate that. And so, yeah, so people say that Jason looks like me, but that wasn't a problem for him in the game. It was that he reminded them of Stephen Fishback. I think that sounds like that's the issue, where that we haven't gotten any reports of a Survivor saying, like, hey, this person reminds me of Rob Cesternino. Let's get rid of them. So far, that hasn't happened to anybody yet. So I feel a little bit better about that going forward. All right. So nice chat with Jason. We have got a good one coming up with Davey Rickenbacker today. Going to actually do that one on video. I have that one uploaded to our YouTube channel as well, in addition to being on the podcast. So I said last week that I was going to start something new. I was going to, on the Exit Interview podcast, when it was over, I haven't read any reviews of the podcast. And so I would do an impression as I went through some reviews of Rob's podcast. Of course, you can go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes to add to our over 3,000 ratings of Rob Has a Podcast on Apple Podcasts. So I did ask for reviews, but so far, okay, let me see. So this is one that I see here. Okay, so Simply the Best is requesting Nicole Franzel to read this review. So Simply the Best, 5 stars. I've been listening to RHAP since I discovered what a podcast was in 2014, and I haven't stopped listening since. I love getting my daily laugh in from Rob on my commute, at work, and at home, doing chores, you name it. I'm pretty sure my child recognized Rob's voice before my husband's because he had heard so much of it in the womb. The humor on this show is seriously second to none. So, there. let's see. It would help just moving forward if I could get these with put the impression at the top of the review. Let's see. Here's another one. Mr. Linguini says, read as your son Anthony. I love your impression of him. Dad does an amazing job of putting out high quality and fun content several times a week. there's always something new in your podcast feed to listen to. Whether you're a Survivor casual or super fan, this podcast is something that you will definitely enjoy. There you go. Okay, so if you want to, go ahead and leave us a review. I'll read your comment. Your short comment. It's a paragraph or so. That's tougher to do. RobHasAWebsite.com/iTunes. So be on the lookout for everything coming up. Feedback, let that come in for Allie Lash. You're going to record that on Sunday, so plenty of opportunities to get your Survivor feedback in before we get to the Wiggle Room and much more, all on Rob as a Podcast. Of course, all of this podcasting is made possible by the support of our patrons. To find out more about everything that we're doing, get access to our patron-only podcast feed. We're easily going to have 5+ hours of patron-only podcasts that are going up for this week gone by. And of course, access to our patron-only Facebook community and much more over at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.